This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is approximately 10 a.m. Coming up this morning, we have Air Cascadia news, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, global peace activist Kathy Kelly talks about life in Afghanistan. Also, Brian Terrell of Voices for Creative Nonviolence talks about serving 6 months in jail for protesting drone warfare at a military base. At 11 on the Radio Zine, the guest is journalist and science writer Sandy Doten discussing her new book, Full Rip 9.0, The Next Big Earthquake in the Pacific Northwest. And at 11:30, we hear KBOO's annual broadcast of the classic documentary Remembering Stonewall, produced by David Isay in 1989 on the 20th anniversary of the event that is often seen as the birth of the queer liberation movement. Thanks, KBOO members, for your support for community radio. If you are not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, June 21st, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Genetically modified sugar beets from two fields in southern Oregon were destroyed this month. The FBI is calling it economic sabotage. Here we go again, right? Someone terrorized the beet. And BP's lawyers experienced an ethical malfunction. Today's guest, though, moving right along, is Dr. Horace Campbell. He's a professor of African American Studies and Political Science at Syracuse University. He has a new book out, Global NATO and the Catastrophic Failure in Libya. It's published by the Monthly Review. Dr. Campbell has been a guest on Air Cascadia in the past, And we are very, very fortunate to have him back again. He's been out of the country doing research. He is the go-to guy when it comes to all things AFRICOM and America's dubious and unwelcome presence on the African continent. First, this from the National Weather Service. Oh, sure, it looks like a long gray day, but morning showers are tapering off in this afternoon. The sun breaks through with isolated showers in the afternoon, highs 65 to 70. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 55. Tomorrow, we get a bit of sun, warmer, highs 75 to 80, a light wind, and tomorrow night, it overcast skies, lows 55 to 60, and a little breezy. Sunday breaks cloudy in the morning and possibly a bit of rain. The highs 70 to 75, and Sunday night, rain is indeed likely. Lows around 55, and the chance of rain is fairly good, which brings us full circle to Monday morning. As the alternative forecast has in store for us, the waxing gibbous leaf moon in Scorpio is 12 days old. Everything that we've been speaking of the rest of the previous days is pretty much holding steady. The biodynamics suggests growing seed-bearing plants. The biodynamic people point out that for the moon in Scorpio, it's a water sign, so now's a good time for leafy plants. The sidereal forecast, the moon in Scorpio, excellent time for planting, germination, and strong, sturdy growth. And that's it for the alternative, as well as the conventional forecast. We have a number of stories from around Cascadia, and we have some interesting notes on the development of a case in that is going forward in New Orleans. BP's lawyers apparently have been up to some mischief, as lawyers for enormous oil companies often do. We will get to that a little bit later. But right now, we are very, very fortunate to welcome Dr. Horace Campbell of Syracuse University. His previous books are extraordinary, the Rasta and Resistance in particular, which I found I had on my desk when I received an email from Dr. Campbell last night. Dr. Campbell is a professor of African American Studies and Political Science at Syracuse. He's been an activist and a scholar for over 40 years. From his early years in Jamaica, he's been involved in Black liberation struggle and the struggles for peace and justice. He's published very widely. His most important book, Rust and Resistance, from Marcus Garvey to Walter Rodney, is in its sixth edition. And he's recently completed a manuscript. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Good morning, Dr. Campbell. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. I should tell the people that the book is out by Monthly Review Press. It's called Global NATO and the Catastrophic Failure in Libya.
And that is the linchpin in North Africa right now, and indeed having the last thing that the U.S. and its allies want is people in the Middle East to be looking at liberation struggles in Africa and taking a lesson from that. AFRICOM's presence in Africa has stirred up nothing but trouble. It has not in any way served its ostensible raison d'etre, reason for being there, which is to achieve peaceful conditions, as though the African people aren't able to do that on their own. They certainly could if the U.S. would get out of the way. I could go on about this. We spoke on this show in the interim about this odious film, Kony 2012, Congolese students are outraged. The movie has been heavily promoted. It is a product of an extreme right-wing Christian fundamentalist organizations here in the United States, the same organizations which have supported the death penalty for homosexuals in some African countries. It is a movie to be very, very cautious about. Let's talk about your book, though. I'm very excited about this. And I don't have it yet. I will be getting it as soon as I can. Can you talk a bit about what you mean by global in this context? Because in almost a corporate sense, we've got global corporatization going on right now.
Yes. The book is called Global NATO and the Catastrophic Failure in Libya. I want to thank you for that introduction by bringing together the role of the conservative, fundamentalist Christians, the homophobic ideas of that group, and the link to what we call in this book the Crusaders, that is, those Christian fundamentalists who believe the United States should be in permanent war against people who follow different religions. This book is called Global NATO because it is covering the alliance between the triple alliance, the banks, the oil companies, and the military. And this triple alliance between the banks and the oil companies and the military is an alliance that seeks to cover the entire planet. When NATO was formed in 1949, it was formed with the ostensive raison d'etre to fight communism. So it was believed that when the Soviet Union collapsed, NATO would collapse. Instead, NATO has expanded within Europe to 28 countries just next to the border of the former Soviet Union territories with Russia. And then it has incorporated territories in the Mediterranean, the Istanbul Cooperative Alliance, the Gulf Cooperation Council, and it's seeking to build alliances with Japan, Australia, New Zealand, South Korea, so that the military projection of the U.S. military through NATO is to defend the financial oligarchs, the oil companies, and this triple alliance. We saw them going into Libya in North Africa to destroy the country when they were fighting terrorism globally. They went in to support the very same terrorists who they're now using Libya as a base to send weapons to Syria to the same jihadists that they've told the people of the United States that they're fighting.
It seems that global, in the title of your book, refers to these power structures and NATO as the designated force that has been appointed to defend the castle. As it were, global really should be all of us. It's the people of Africa, it's the people of the Middle East, but we seem to be excluded from our own... our own interests, and it's an what happened in Libya's case in point is an extraordinary situation. Muammar Gaddafi became the latest demon of the day, not because he was considered a madman and very dangerous or anything, but mainly because he was very, very clear about Pan-Africanism and Africans determining their own course of and the future, not being simply markets for Chinese goods and a military base for the United States.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you pointed out that the global should include all of us. And this is where the peace movement should take its responsibility to ensure that the military, the oil companies, and the banks, the 1%, does not act in our name, that is, the billions of people on the planet, and to destroy countries such as Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, and now Syria, in the name of peace and fighting terrorism, that the peace movement should take its global responsibility. What we saw from the Kony 2012 was the way in which the military has manipulated the minds of 100 million young persons to sign on for the deployment of the U.S. military in Uganda to support the expansion of U.S. militarization of Africa. And as you rightly pointed out, that one does not have to defend Muammar Gaddafi, but the principle that the people of Libya and the people of Africa should have the right to determine what goes into what is done with their resources is a principle that the people of the United States fought for in 1776 when they fought a war of independence, so that the people of Libya should not have their oil, their water, and their resources taken away by Western companies and the unleashing of militias from private militias, special operations, and private security firms that are in alliance with places like Qatar and Saudi Arabia that are supporting jihadists. So the global peace movement has a responsibility to be much more affirmative in opposing global NATO. And so my book that has come out by Monthly Review is to explain the build-up for the war and the manipulation of the ideas about responsibility to protect, that they were protecting civilians when they have unleashed terror to the point that there's no peace in Libya today. So the book is in 21 chapters, tells the story to try to strengthen the peace movement in this country, so that as the United States goes towards arming the same jihadists in Syria, the same jihadists that they armed in Libya, that the peace movement will have greater clarity on their role to oppose the militarization of the planet.
And you've been a leader. You've been a leader for a long time now. The book. I'll be getting a copy of that as soon as I can. I want to invite you back for a longer interview. We'd like to take phone calls. We'd like to talk more about these ideas. We've put a lot of ideas out there. We are flat out of time, alas. But I'm so happy to speak with you again.
And, thank you so much.
And I do, not having my hands on Global NATO, I do want to also recommend to listeners that Rust and Resistance is an extraordinary book. I'm just rereading it last night. And thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to speaking with you at greater length in the very near future. And my guest, of course, has been Dr. Horace Campbell, and we're very fortunate to have him here. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, June 21st, 2013. Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights.